In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The gospel readings and the epistle readings are all wonderful today. I was just thinking sort of a crazy thought. Don't worry, we're not going to do it today. Probably never going to do it. But it would be nice if we did. What if we had such a thirst for the Scriptures that we would speak about them for an hour and a half in the service, and we would cover all the Scriptures that we had read and drink from the deep well that they are? Well, hardly anybody would put up with that. So we don't do that. And so I sort of choose something and leave other things off because there's just not enough time. But what if, huh? What if we would actually love the Scriptures so much that we would desire to hear about them, both hearing them read and hearing them preached about for a long time? That was the way it was in St. John Chrysostom's day. That was the way it was in the Apostles' day. Actually, one time it happened that was so long that somebody fell out of a window, but because he fell asleep when St. Paul was preaching. But we'll just have it be shorter, or perhaps a little longer than most churches, because I think I talk a little longer than most churches. I want to talk about a selection from Corinthians that I think we could put in a special book about marriage. It's really about life in general. It doesn't say anything about marriage, but since we had a wedding yesterday, and I don't easily stop thinking about things that important events, I was thinking that this passage where the apostle is speaking about sowing sparingly or sowing bountifully, this is a description of what a good marriage should be like, to sow bountifully. And I actually told Tim and Elizabeth about that yesterday, that in their marriage, they should be collaborating in giving alms. This is very important. Now, there's a practical reason why. There's a theological reason why. But there's also a practical reason why we should be bountiful in our giving. And certainly, when there is a couple, there's twice as many as one. And that's actually more than twice as many, really. Arithmetically, it's 1 plus 1 equal 2. But it's actually greater than that, because we don't often do well alone. And nobody really does well alone. The very, very rare person does well alone. Even the monks, they're not alone. They're in communities. They have spiritual fathers. They have deep friendships within the community. So when you have a man and a wife, you have this powerful unit for doing good. And if we do good, then God will open up our hearts and give us this, what at the end of this reading it says, be enriched in everything to all bountifulness. That's what happens to us if we give bountifully. And Tim and Elizabeth and everyone who is married, you have this marvelous opportunity beyond that of someone who's single. Single people can do it too. They're not exempt. But certainly you have this marvelous opportunity to be a team, to give bountifully to the world. Now that giving can be in many forms. It can be money, it can be time, it can be hospitality, it can be prayer, it can be reaching out to people and being an ear for them and a voice to them. It can be all those things. And the marvelous thing is when you have someone that shares your mind, whether or not they share all of your abilities, perhaps you're better in something than they are, they're better in something than you are, but you share the same mind, then there's this added strength to be able to do good for the world. And in doing good for the world, you are becoming good, and God is filling you with Himself. There are a good Matushka, and I have a great one, gives you power, because we do things as a team. Now, Marina doesn't serve in the altar, but so many things. And I'm not talking about the physical things. I'm talking about the spiritual things. Being of one mind is what helps me to serve in the altar. And being of one mind should be what helps you each to give together and apart alms to people, whatever form that alms is. So let's talk about this reading, and perhaps maybe I'll make it a project and I'll come up with 12 readings that husbands and wives should read, not just the ones that are in the wedding service. I think this one counts as one of them. So the apostle says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, as he purposeth in his heart, let him not give grudgingly or of necessity, for the Lord loveth a cheerful giver." So this is a principle of life. You can't escape spiritual truths. They remain true no matter what you do or don't do. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. That is an absolute truth. It's always true. So if you're stingy with your time, with your heart, with your money, with your kindness, God will be stingy to you. This is a spiritual principle. It's always true. So that's the theological kind of idea, that God, because he is love, he expects us to love. If we don't love, we're not like him. And he, at the end of the world, he says, "I don't know you. Who are you?" at the judgment. So that's a theological reason. But there's also a practical reason for giving. Forgiving bountifully. And that is, we're generally egotistical people. We think of ourselves more than others. And we tend to inflate our own problems above others and complain about them. There's hardly anybody in this room that probably doesn't do that. That destroys the spiritual life. That's really a form of judgment. And God, when he sees that kind of pride and judgment, he does not enter into the soul. So how are we to be rid of this pride, this self-centeredness, this judgment? By reaching out beyond ourselves to others. Then God will fill us with himself. So this is a very practical thing that any married couple should really concentrate on. Now you have things to do this week, I'm sure. You have bills to pay and decisions to make about this and that and planning about this and doing that. We all have stuff to do in our domestic life and in our married life. But the most important thing is that you are growing towards holiness. And we cannot grow towards holiness if we are not kind. And if we don't express this kindness in material ways by giving of ourselves to others. So I think that married people, if they at all have the means in any way, they should be giving hospitality to others, opening their homes to others, seeing people that are hurting in some way and reaching out to them. Then your heart is opened. This is one of the great gifts of marital life, that you have this empowerment. Because I'll tell you honestly, a lot of times when you do things by yourself, you get tired. You get real tired. Now, even though my wife is involved in many aspects of my priesthood, there are some that she is not involved in by reason of that things are secret, things are confidential, etc., etc. And sometimes I just get tired and feel alone. So even though she doesn't know of some things, there is a certain empowerment, a certain recreation that happens, certain healing that happens, that I know that she cares about the things that I do. And so you must show each other that you care about giving to others. I would say freely to you that if in your household your amount of almsgiving is small, then your life is small. There's a tradition in the church. We give 10% to the church, and then besides that, to other things. If you look at your finances and see that you're not even doing that, then your life is small. And God wants your life to be big. And if perhaps financially you can't give in terms of this sort of amount, you know, 10 or 15 or 20% of your income, you can give of yourself. Something's happened. I guess I have to make another reference. Natalie told me there has been one Sunday so far. I haven't mentioned my son Daniel. But after Daniel's death, we became aware, my wife and I together, of so many people that had lost loved ones in sudden ways. Then people wrote to us, some to me, some to her, some to both of us. So she has a correspondence with at least one person. I have a correspondence with several people. And we are doing something together. She has a list of those that she prays for, similar to my list, but not identical. And we are praying for people who have died suddenly, people who have lost loved ones suddenly. So this is sort of a work where that's just sort of organically come up because of my son's death, since obviously we are now on the list of people who have lost someone in a sudden way. We hadn't thought of that before, but God knew. Now there's this whole new kind of ministry that we kind of do together. Not really necessarily consulting each other about each person, but sort of a work that we are doing together. This is the kind of thing, and I don't mean this exact thing, but this is the kind of thing, the kind of way of life that should be present in your life. If you've read the story of Joachim and Anna, they were very righteous, and they were childless, and eventually, of course, they had the mother of God. And it describes their life that they were rich, and they gave a third to the church, a third for the poor, and a third for themselves. So being rich, they made themselves poor, because they were not that rich. So they lived a quiet life as poor people because they gave away their funds together as a collaboration. And they were righteous in the sight of God. So righteous that God gifted them with the privilege of giving birth to Mary, who would become the mother of God. It was because of their kindness, their almsgiving, as a partnership together. I think that it's good to look at the scriptures in a rigorous way, in a theological way, and then apply them, but also more in a general way, like I'm talking now. Because it's very simple. St. Paul says, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. And if we take that to heart, and if we say, well, now that I have a wife, now that I have a husband, we have the means now, the moral means, the spiritual, the psychological means, and the monetary means, and a spare bedroom, and whatever else, to do good together, to have a collaboration about things that we really care about people that are not doing so well, about people that we care about that we want to reach out to in some way. This is a great gift, and truly you will be benefited in ways you cannot dream about. Now I'll make a connection to the gospel that was read today. Sometimes I think you think these kinds of connections are a little bit contrived. But the way my mind works, the way my heart works, I often see connections in the scripture that are quite beautiful. One of the gospel readings was about the great catch of fish. And I would normally talk about that because it's one of my favorite scriptures, especially when you add to it the great catch of fish that was after the resurrection. And my favorite number. Remember that number? What's that number? 153. In this story, they fished all night, and then the Lord's preaching, and they're tired. And the Lord says, let your nets down in the middle of the day with your big, thick nets which the fish can see with the sun shining. And the fishermen, no, that's not going to work too well. So what does Peter say? He says something really wonderful because it's not just this perfect statement. It's not like, yes, Lord, immediately. He didn't say that. He said, Master, we've toiled all the night. We've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And that very much describes the Christian life, that we obey God even though sometimes we've toiled all night and taken nothing. And in our married lives, sometimes we're working hard together for something and it's not happening. Perhaps we're still poor. Perhaps we're still struggling in some way. Perhaps a good friend or someone in the family is really struggling. And we try this and we try that and it isn't working. Well, we should be like Peter. We should say, Lord, we've been praying for a long time. We've been working for a long time. Nothing's been working. Nevertheless, you told me to keep working, so I'm going to keep working. And as a couple, There's strength that you can gather from each other to keep going. Alone is hard. Alone it's very, very hard. So this is your great advantage as man and wife, to be able together to sow bountifully. It's a great privilege. May God help you to fulfill this privilege, that your marriage every day would be a vehicle for you to give your love for each other to the world. And then God would return His love to you much above what you can give. May God bless us and help us in all things. Amen.